The world pays attention to what we say and what we do. And this is also about what we are teaching our children. We should not have to explain to them this darker side of politics. We should not be afraid to take them to a political rally or let them watch political debates. We should be teaching them that this democracy is a vibrant and precious thing. And it's going to be theirs someday. And we want them to elevate it.
There's the president speaking yesterday at the White House, responding to the recent uptick in violent rhetoric and violence that has followed some or mainly one of the presidential candidates on the campaign trail. And while the facade of this election cycle has appeared brash and crude and overly bold, some would suggest that the meat and potatoes of the race has been substantive, that democracy is at work, in which unconventional populist candidates like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders rise to the top of the food chain upon a wave of engaged American support, that this is exactly how the system is supposed to work. Jeffrey Frank is a former senior editor of The New Yorker, and he joins me now in the studio. Jeffrey Frank, welcome.
Hi, nice to be here.
And we thought that this was a great time to look at the health of our democracy, and you could view it one of two ways, that some of the ugliness on the campaign trail, some of the apparent efforts that candidates and lawmakers have been undertaking to close off the steam valves of the democracy, make it very unhealthy. On the other hand, the issues are being aired, and if people are angry, the campaign should be angry.
Right. I mean, I think our democracy is certainly working, but what's so interesting about it is I'm not sure who's chosen these candidates. The answer is they've all chosen themselves, and that's something that's sort of different. I mean, the Democrats, Mrs. Clinton, basically chose herself, and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, didn't really invite many other people to take part. On the Republican side, it's really interesting that the campaign was limited to these to a sort of very sort of right-wing candidates by today's standards, except for the Ohio Governor John Kasich and Jeb Bush. But the selection has narrowed, and what that says about our democracy, I don't know. People are voting, which is extraordinary. I mean, in great numbers, but what they're voting for is going to take a long time to figure out.
What about the tone of the campaign? Again, many of us are disappointed, turned off. The president expressing his concern over the tone of the campaign, and there is the counter argument, as scary as it can be, that if millions of Americans are feeling this way, that this is the function of politics, to air it, not punch people in the face. In no way do I endorse that, but that this is one of the functions of politics, to air out that grievance.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are many tones in the campaign. I mean, people. I mean, actually, three populists. I think Ted Cruz is a populist too. He's mining something else. But Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are the two real populists in the campaign, and they stand for very different things. Bernie Sanders' message couldn't be clearer. You're not being paid enough. You're working too hard. You've fallen back, and above all, the system is rigged against you. He uses the word rigged, and his point is that your wages haven't improved very much, and yet people who don't make anything except more money. In other words, he's not talking about the Bill Gateses or the Jeff Bezoses. He's talking about people who do nothing but play with money, and they're making billions of dollars, and that gets people angry, and that's his message. Donald Trump's message is very different. Basically, nothing's working. We're dumb. We're not going on. He's not very clear about it. Often he doesn't make a lot of sense, but he's a very entertaining performer, and he always has been. And his message is, things are rotten. I'm going to fix it. And that's a powerful message too for people who are unhappy and think that things are rotten. But they're always very different messages.
And I always have to view this also. There is a presidential campaign. We get focused on that, but that doesn't happen in a vacuum. We're also on the heels of years and years of very, very bitter, dysfunctional congressional and presidential politics, gridlock, shutdown, debt limit, Republican on Republican political violence, right. Frankly. So this hasn't happened because of last week. I mean, this has been—
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No, it's been a constant story. You could almost say, I mean, certainly since the 1964 campaign with Johnson and Goldwater, where the Republican Party split briefly apart and then came back together with Richard Nixon, for better or worse. No, this is an ongoing thing. And the on the other side, there's been this Gallup poll showing that President Obama gets more and more popular. His calm voice, you heard it just a few minutes ago as he talked about the campaign, and that That speaks to something in the American electorate, too. And I think if you want to look hopefully at it, it's that. It's that we are this calm, reasoned voice and who is polling now above 50%, which is pretty good. For example, when Harry Truman left office, he was polling at about 22%.
Right, but 50%.
51%.
Okay.
So, I would say the 50% is the new 60.
Okay, well, but a 50% approval rating also means – a 50% unapproval if you discount the people who aren't responding.
No, it's 50. I think it's like 51 and then 37. And
okay.
Then,
okay, so fair enough. Okay. But there is also a concern, and I want to know what you think about this idea from Republican land, that if they don't have a cleansing election, if they nominate a Donald Trump or some other candidate that comes out of the convention that doesn't have an object lesson for Republicans about nominating staunch conservatives or getting rid of some of the oppositionalism and ugliness that many of them think is in their party, that regardless of who's elected, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, I don't know, or even another Republican, that this will simply continue.
Yeah, I think that's always been the case. The Republicans were always – historically, they've always said, oh, if you just give us the conservative candidate, we'll show you. They tried in 52 when they wanted to nominate Robert Taft. Then this interloper, General Eisenhower, came in and took the nomination. They finally got their wish in 64 and well, there was a great landslide. 64 has certain resemblances to today because the Republican was portrayed as a completely terrifying, inexperienced candidate, even though Barry Goldwater was a man of great principle and decency, but the Democrat was completely distrusted. People thought that Johnson was a crook. His chief aide, a guy named Bobby Baker, was just this side of jail, and I think he went to jail finally. And if President Kennedy hadn't been shot, Johnson, who knows what might have happened to Lyndon Johnson? People knew this, so that was so. I'm not saying that it's exactly the same, and people don't think Hillary Clinton's a crook, but there's really a distrust on that side, and Lord knows what people finally think of Donald Trump. His views are so unclear, and his trust level is so low. He's at 27% of trustworthiness. Hillary Clinton's at 37%.
All right. So before we go, diagnosis: American democracy limping. Okay, sprained.
Sprained. Yeah. Sprained is my word. Not broken, but sprained. And sprains do heal.
Sprains do heal. You need to stay off of them for a while. We're not going to get that chance, unfortunately.
Right, but they also recur because your ankle is still weak.
Jeffrey Frank is a former senior editor at The New Yorker. He's author of Ike and Dick, A Portrait of a Strange Political Marriage. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Todd.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.